And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio, plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on the Athletic NBA show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on the Athletic NBA show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA show for Nerder She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA show.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA show as a part of the Athletic Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper,
teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday,
subscribe
to the Athletic NBA show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you
right here on The Athletic.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Guys, I got to say, Bucks in four. It's a sweep. The Bucks are just better.
Like they miss PJ Dozier, man. Like that's where their defense is.
Yep.
Fire up the fucking doom ship. I'm burning this bitch down tonight. God, the number one seed getting cracked like that.
Mm-mm. The same weekend.
Listen, the real KD.
Oh my God.
The real KD.
That
shit my God. Crazy.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Most of it.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Dave DeFore. We got James Edwards III. We got Jay King. Jade Hoy is producing. And we've got an NBA Finals series after Giannis and the Bucks put it on the Suns in Game 3, 120-100 to avoid going down 0-3. Now, maybe the Bucks have some life. Maybe the Bucks have figured some stuff out. Maybe, just maybe, Mike Budenholzer will be a champion. And so, at this point, do we feel like the Bucks have figured something out? And do we feel like they have the resilience that has, escaped them over the last couple of years? Because they go down 0-2 against the Nets, come back and win. Lose Giannis. Now, granted, Trae Young was hurt, but they lose Giannis against the Hawks in the conference finals. They win that.
now, maybe with Giannis coming back in a insane amount of time after that hyperextension. I mean, we were basically, you know, writing their eulogy last week. And so now they're in this, they're winning. They kicked the Suns' ass in game three. Jay, what is your hot take on this Bucks Suns series? You were very pro Bucks last week. What are you now?
I don't really have a hot take. I just think Giannis has been playing very good basketball lately. I just think it's so hard to play with the force that he's playing with as often as he's doing it. Like, it's easy to say Giannis should get layups, Giannis should get dunks, Giannis should get to the rim no matter what. But for him to do it for 40 minutes a game, I don't think he made a shot outside of 5 feet in game four. Like, I looked at his shot chart. It was all right near the rim. It was all right there. And I marvel at just the relentlessness and, like, just the sheer stamina it takes to just get to the rim and bully guys time after time. The last couple of games, he has been outrageously good. And he's just kind of shedding smaller defenders and doing what he wants and going up and getting it on the glass. He's made the game look really, really easy the last couple of games.
I think this playoff series for Giannis, or I'm sorry, just this playoffs in general has been kind of, I don't know what the word is, but this Giannis we're seeing now isn't the Giannis we saw to start. And for him to look within, I don't know if somebody got to him or if he just realized it, but for him, the terrible shots are gone. He's doing what he does, and he's doing what he does best. And for him to just kind of have that, I don't know, patience and attitude that to understand that this is what's going to need to happen for our team to win, like, kudos to him, man, because this was not necessarily the same Giannis we saw a series and a half ago either.
It's wild how good they look when the other two guys show up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Giannis has been here, right? Like, you can't say that they lost either of those two first games because of Giannis. And tonight, the other guys step up and they win big. You know, I think we're going to get into this when we talk about that third quarter, but it was still closer than this score would suggest. They had that great run at the end of the third that kind of put it away. But I think if you're Milwaukee, you shouldn't feel like you figured anything out. The Suns did not shoot well. You did. You defended a little bit better than you have. But a lot of it was the Suns missed a lot of open shots too. So I think that, you know, you're still looking for that next adjustment from Bud in game four. Because otherwise, you're just going back to Phoenix, you know, for a party.
Do we feel like the Bucks are going to be concerned about the free throw disparity in Game 3? That it wasn't fair to the Suns? Or is that just a Game 1 thing?
No.
Okay, because it's the exact same disparity as Game 1, but it's just reversed. So I'm just curious.
Well, it's funny, Zach. You know, when you don't play scared, you go to the free throw line.
It is funny how that works, right? I mean, The last two games, like, I mean, Giannis has been attacking relentlessly. I actually disagree. Like, I think you could say they lost game one because of Giannis, not anything he did, but the team not knowing what to do with him. I think there was some awkwardness in game one trying to figure out what he could and couldn't do in real time, because it's not like they had practices with him, right?
That's fair.
And real prep.
Circumstantial.
And I thought it left everyone kind of, like, in limbo, and then defensively, like, he just wasn't very good. He wasn't able to close out. He wasn't able to really challenge shots on the perimeter. And I think the Suns figured that out at one point. And look, like, are we really going to blame him? Like, no, he's coming back a week from a hyperextension. But I do think there was confusion just based on his whole existence back on the court. But yeah, like, game two, you know, there were some comments about, hey, maybe Chris Middleton and Drew can't, you know, get in a rhythm because of Giannis. And, like, Drew Holiday missed 8 shots around the rim, yeah. Right? Like, I mean,
Oh my God.
I don't know what you do with that. Yeah, he was just bad. And, like, Middleton, but even Middleton, like, was just missing shots. And then tonight, Middleton hits a bunch of threes. And all of a sudden, like, oh my God, it looks better. Drew Holiday hits a couple of threes in, I think, the third quarter. And, like, hey, it looks better. Right? Like, I mean, it's just like everything.
All of a sudden, Bud can coach.
Well hold on.
right. Well, again, we'll talk about that third quarter, because he almost blew it.
Well, what do you mean? Like, what specifically in the third quarter for you made you feel like he almost blew it?
Okay, so Ayton picks up that foul, and Monty goes small, okay? they get the, they have one possession where they're getting the Bucks in rotation. PJ Tucker looks awful. Brooke gets burned for a wide open Jay Crowder three. Immediately they sub out Brooke Lopez. They bring in Connaughton for Brooke Lopez. That was the wrong move. And the Suns capitalized on that. And they actually, what did they bring it back to? Six, I think. I'll have to rewatch this, you know, tomorrow. But that almost cost the Bucks the game. They get Brooke back out there, the defense settles, and you know, and Bobby Portis was fantastic. And they were able to ice the game at the end of the third. But man, dude, this is not a PJ Tucker series. It's a Pat Connaughton series, mm-hmm. surprisingly. I think that one little thing, like they almost got burned by that.
The thing about when they go super small against around Giannis like they did there is they don't actually have more spacing than they do with Lopez in. And so
exactly.
It really, like, they're not able to get all the benefits of downsizing, and they still get some of the downside of it.
And the Suns want PJ Tucker to catch the ball in the corner.
They want Tucker to catch the ball. They want Connaughton. They're okay with Connaughton catching the ball. Like,
I don't fully heel turn on PJ Tucker. I think he played a very terrible game, but he's out there for a reason. And I think that obviously how, Dave, you put it in the great standpoint of, you know, focusing on that and exploiting him at that particular time where they got themselves back in the game. But I'm not hung up on Connaughton like that. I think that Connaughton was good for them today. But it hasn't been too consistent. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just put Connaughton on CP3 or Devin Booker. You know what I mean? PJ does do the things that is unstatted and still, whether it's foul or not, it's effective in some points. But yes, they lose on offense. But for the most part, you have to look at it like he just played bad. And luckily, Giannis is Giannis. And then you got the help from guys actually making shots today. I think that they're going to make shots the next game too. And it's going to be very close to what we think, because I know everybody was screaming 4-0 and 4-1. And I think this series goes down to six. But I don't see PJ having a bad game like that again. But then I wouldn't change the lineup at all.
I thought Tucker was – I thought especially in the first half, he made some really good plays, winning plays. And then the other part is, like, who else do you go to if you're Budenholzer? Like, if this is not a PJ Tucker series, like, what player is it?
Well, series? I think it's a Pat Connaughton
played 30 yeah. minutes. Like, yeah. You could give him a few more minutes than that. But it's like they're basically only playing seven guys, eight if you count Jeff Teague, who probably would have played less time if the game was closer. So I just don't know.
Yeah, like Bryn Forbes hasn't been great. Like, when you look at it, like, PJ's a guy that needs to start. He's ineffective coming off the bench. Like, he's a person that needs to be, like, positively rewarded on some things of, like, hey, here's a gold star type thing. You know what I mean? And in that situation, his confidence isn't there if you bring him off the bench. And, you know, they need defense. They don't need more offense in that situation. Yes, PJ was known and made a little more career for himself knocking down that corner three. Well, he's no longer Mr. Corner Pocket. That's Norm Powell. But he still steps up. And, you know what I mean? The time that he was on Booker, even though Booker missed shots, he did a good job on Booker. And then, you know, obviously picking up hacking and stuff and doing the other things that hurt his team. But he has to be out there. You know what I mean? Because he does the other little things when other guys aren't available in that space.
I don't know. I lean toward having Brooke and Connaughton a little bit. But again, like you said, he's going to play. They only have seven guys. I mean, Bobby Portis, they're leaning on Bobby Portis. And I don't mean to disparage him, because I certainly like Bobby Portis, and he was great in this game tonight. But that's not the best, right? Like, you're in the NBA Finals, and that's kind of where you're at. And you know, we were talking about how much Pat Connaughton is playing and the options that they've got. And, you know, you would hope that Bryn Forbes would give them a little bit more, because you can trade off the defense as long as you're getting that much offense. But I don't think that Brent Forbes is going to give him enough on the offensive end.
But that's why Brent Forbes hasn't been playing, and that's why we're seeing more Teague minutes. Like, that's the thing. He's been struggling, and we can't ride off of what he did in the end of the regular season in the first round of the playoffs. He has lost his confidence, and I think he's going to continue to try to find his way in this series if he's thrown in there. But the safer option, which is scary, is Jeff Teague. You know what I mean? Because Jeff Teague made some questionable plays, but you had to kind of still ride with him because he runs the offense, and Bud knows him, you know, from the Hawks. So, you know, they don't have too many options. They're not like crazy deep. You know what I mean? Like, they had to give Thanasis some early minutes on. And I was just like, what is happening right now? But, you know, I just don't see.
Did they have to? Or did they just choose to?
Nah, I think they had to because it just was more so very thin. Like, I mean, and the thing about Bobby Portis, he can be great for you, but once he gets off the rails as far as physically and going back to bat with guys, you know,
it's hard to rein him back in.
You have to reel him back in, and that's where Bud pulls him, and he gets frustrated. He's slapping a chair. And then they calm him down and refocus, and then he's back offensively good again. But once he's, like, pulled away, and I think that's what hurts them a lot because they have to micromanage so many guys. Yeah. And, like, as your security blanket, you can't just throw in Thanasis because that's when teams make their run when they feel like they can, you know, do what they need to do, especially, you know, he's a up 20 guy. You know what I mean? He's the last guy on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to call him a mascot because he's a professional basketball player, but he keeps them motivated. You know what I'm saying? He's the guy that's keeping Giannis in the game when Giannis is questioning himself at halftime. Like, he listens to his older brother, but, you know.
You know what's wild? I have an admission here that's probably a little embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I found out tonight that Thanasis is the older.
That he was older? Me too, dude.
Oh, yeah. Just because the way he acts, I always assume like, oh, mm-hmm. younger brother, Giannis is taking care of younger brother. I never knew the hierarchy
and
of
Giannis
them all.
Is so much bigger too.
Right, yeah.
So exactly. Your natural tendency is like
just the Johnny That's
so funny. But like when you think about it, like nobody gets excited like that except the big brother.
No, like I don't know, man. If my big brother got me a job, like I think I'd be pretty excited all the time too.
Uh huh.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, like I feel like the biggest champion for the little brother, like whenever, like through sports history, is the big brother. Like Seth doesn't really ride for Steph like Steph rides for Seth.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm disappointed in my little brother. He got all the size and no basketball talent, man. Come on. Damn, I'm jealous.
You had to just throw him under the bus like that, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to throw him under the bus. And he listens to the show, too, so I'll probably get a text in the morning.
Jay, which of your brothers did you just kick the ass of in basketball all the time?
My brothers, they're all pretty good at basketball. I was definitely the best.
Okay, so Jay's the worst. If you were the best,
are you the only one that played in college?
I mean, I was on a college team. I wouldn't say I played in college.
Okay. Okay. Fair.
I respect that because we weren't going to fact check. I respect that.
we went 2-22 my freshman year. We were very, very bad.
That's fun though.
What?
Yeah. It was
bad teams
fun.
Are fun. No. Good teams are fun too, but bad teams are fun too. Some of my best memories were being on a bad team.
No, that shit was horrible.
No,
man.
That's awful. What are you talking about? No,
it's not that I like to lose. It's just I got some good memories getting my ass kicked with a bunch of dudes that I've played basketball with. It was fun. In hindsight. It wasn't fun in the moment, but it's fun in hindsight.
So I got a question. What does this win do to the series? Does it make it interesting, or does the Suns still look like the favorite to win?
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the Suns are still the favorite to win just because they have fewer games to win, right? Like, I think it's pretty evenly matched. They have home court. And I still think, like, I don't know. it wouldn't shock me if the Suns won the next two. Like, I mean,
right, not
just
because
I predicted that, but like also like I just think that they've won two very different ways. They got their ass kicked tonight. And I know they brought it down in the third quarter. I never felt like they were in control of that game after the first quarter. Like I didn't personally. And so like I never really took that seriously.
We didn't get a chance to see what would happen if they had subbed Ayton back in, right? Like they fouled Ayton out of the game.
Sure. Yeah.
There was a time to sub Ayton in. I'm not sure when it was, because I get not doing it during the run. Mm-hmm. Because it obviously like they were Drew Holiday threes away from like getting over the hump.
Right.
But I don't know. I was trying, like, after we talked about that, I was like, when would have the time been? Like, maybe
when it, I when think they it brought was, in Kaminsky.
When Brooke came back in. I think when Brooke came back, would have been a good time to do it, because, you know, then you're a little bit of an advantage kind of went away.
Right.
And now you can bring in Ayton and maybe you can put some pressure. Now, with that being said, look, I mean, this is one small little thing. We could do this all day about every single little lineup adjustment. And I don't think it didn't necessarily cost him the game.
No.
But I do think that there was a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one.
Four fouls on – he doesn't foul often, right? So I think there's a chance it got in his head. And so maybe you just need to trust the coach.
Yeah.
Can we talk about
– I think there's a little – real quick, I think there's a little something about like the whole like, all right, if they do sub him in and he gets another foul right away, it's going to be like, why did you sub him in? He's in foul trouble. Now you can't bring him back till much later in the game. And then and we were rolling, you know. And then if you don't sub him in and then the Bucks come back and do what they did, it's like, man, you should have subbed him in. Like, I don't know. That's right. Kind of the tough thing with that, right, is never knowing the answer to that.
And I trust Monty in terms of like reading the room. And we talked about it. Like, Ayton was hot going to the bench. He came back. Even when he came back in, he wasn't – you could just tell he kind of was mentally checked out. So yeah, like it was a weird,
well, they were down 20 something by then.
Yeah. But even just like, I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, of course, yeah, he would be mentally checked out, but he just, even in that moment when he came out, it just seemed like there needed to be a read the room moment from an adult. And he, I trust Monty. He's put enough, equity in the bank.
But
kicked
his ass tonight, straight up.
No, he
did. We're going to blame this loss on Devin Booker's outfit. He can't listen. Prada shirt or not, bro. He showed up like Adam Sandler, and that shit was not
in
great.
Well, also, Giannis showed up in some all black Air Force Ones, man. Like, yes. That, I expected him to get a flagrant two and get fouled out.
Like, that was a Midwest homage to Pat Beverly, you know, an accident. He didn't know. But it was interesting, man. That's why Book struggled. Like, he should have left it out fitting in the visitor's locker room.
I want to shout out Chris Middleton for his defense, man. He defended the shit out of Devin Booker.
Yeah,
he was so good sticking with him.
I think that's the thing. He defends, and most of the time people own in on like, oh, he only has 8 points or he's 2 for 8.
Right.
He finds other ways to be effective.
For sure.
He's just
like,
not out there on vibes.
Yeah, he's passed the whole time. Like, he's been passing. He's been playmaking the whole series. Like, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, more so when it comes to Holiday and him, when they're struggling, that's the biggest highlight when I'm looking at most of the commentary. And it's like, okay, I get it, but basketball isn't all about points, because look at Jay Crowder. He be out there not scoring nothing, but he'll get a 50-50 ball, he'll get a rebound, he'll get in Giannis' head, push him, you know, clap, talk to the bench, whatever. He might make 1-3. And you know, he's like a plus 17 at the end of the game. You're like, how? Like, bro, he was out there just, you know, getting cardio like Tony Snell or something. And, you know.
Tony Snell slander in the finals?
Well, no, I only say that because Tony Snell had to this day, it's a viral, like, stat line where I think it was
0-0-0
for like 26 minutes.
That's hard
like,
to
what
do,
were you
man.
Doing?
That's hard to do.
That's very hard to do. So, like, those guys don't get the credit when they're out there and how effective they are. That's why I was, you know, I understood where Dave was coming from a certain perspective, but I get why PJ is out there too. He makes it difficult for a lot of guys, even if they probably crossed him over. Like, he got dunked on by Cam Johnson.
That was nasty.
That was nasty.
Oh, it was great. It was probably one of the best plays. You know what? Kobe White, we owe Kobe White an apology. And anybody that complained about Cam Johnson being 35 years old and being drafted.
Or was it the thing that like he either had a back problem or a hip problem or something like that?
Yep.
Like yeah. Phoenix yeah. cured him. Because that was the reason like he was not supposed to go high in the draft is...
He was like 25, right?
Yeah, his medicals were terrible.
Came into the league with arthritis.
Yeah, right. He had osteoporosis when he hit his junior year. And so he came in, everyone was like, yo, his medicals are terrible. And then the Suns were like, fuck it, we'll take him.
Being Gay comes in and sponsors him. Don't get that Being Gay bag, man.
I mean, we're at a point where like, I trust the Suns with whoever they pick. And we're not that far removed from Marquise Chris and Alex Lynn.
They're doing this weird thing.
Could have had Luka.
They could have. Yeah.
They're doing this really weird thing where they're just taking good players.
It's funny how that works, right?
Yeah.
And I know, like, I say that all the time, and it's a joke, and I get it. Like, you know, sometimes you swing for the fences. Cam Johnson at the spot that they got him, completely fine, and you know, like you knew what his floor was, mm-hmm. which is. Not much lower than where he's at right now. You know what I mean? He came in as a good player. He's just physically hurt. Yeah. It's beautiful, man. And so, like, and we already know the value of just having a tall guy who can shoot.
Yep. Like, this was his ceiling, and he's already hit it. Like, I don't anticipate Cam getting much better than this, but, like, he doesn't need to.
Yeah, how many titles is he going to win?
Like, he'll play on he'll play on any team, any year, wherever he'll be fine.
He's going to win anywhere from zero.
He's
going to
be 41. He's going to be 41 in the year 16. That's just going to be crazy.
He's old at AARP already.
Oh, it's going to be the wildest year 16 ever.
Yeah.
But yo, non-NBA finals related, I just wanted to shout out Jamal Crawford for having his second 50-point game in the crossover. He's out here looking amazing on offense. I don't know how much it translates to the current game, but again, that's the true, real Uncle Drew. My man is out there just really dominating these young boys out here in summer basketball.
I needed that highlight reel. He was doing some nonsense.
No, I'm saying he literally just had it tonight right now.
Pick up basketball and just destroy dudes until he's like 65.
And he had 50 yesterday and he had 50 tonight. So that's 101 points in two nights.
And he's out-younged Pharrell. Like, there was a race in my mind between Pharrell and Jamal Crawford who would get look older faster. And I think it's the winner is Jamal.
We're not counting that one game he played in the bubble. So now that's three straight games of 51 because he had 51 in his last game.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Has Pharrell aged?
And you're starting to, his eyes, the bags are starting to get a little heavier. Uh-oh. Jamal's skincare routine is A1. Shout out to Jamal.
I legitimately have no idea how old Pharrell is. Like, you could tell me he's like 33 and he just got a really young start.
I think he's close to 50.
He's over 50. He's been around for a while.
Let me Google real quick. He is
43, right?
48.
You can't believe the internet. He's over 50.
Yeah, it was Wikipedia.
That's amazing.
Do we talk about, and this could be, you guys could come combat this, but I think one thing when we talked about the Suns coming into the playoffs was the thin front court. And DeAndre's just been so good. And they've won so much, we haven't really talked about it. But tonight kind of felt like it was the first night that everybody's kind of biggest flaw for the Suns really showed.
I thought about that because
Saric mattered too.
It's not like Saric mattered. It just actually really showed tonight.
Yeah, because I thought about that because I remember before the first two rounds, right, it was like, well, we'll see if the Lakers can get him in foul trouble. They never did.
Exactly.
We'll see if Jokic can get him in foul trouble. Never happened. And then he was a problem for the Clippers, obviously. And then when it happened, when he got that third one tonight, I thought about like those conversations. I was like, finally, like not that I was waiting for it, but like it would have happened.
Every big has a game like that, right? And he just hadn't,
For sure. Right, but even just the depth never showed, like the lack of depth never showed for the Suns. And it was just like, man, like that was the flaw, like the obvious glaring flaw. And it was, you just kind of looked up and you're like, man, that hadn't hurt them in all, how many wins now? 14 wins? No. 14? Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, that was just, it was interesting to me that just now you kind of got, like Zach said, it took you back to that moment. Like, oh yeah, this was like supposed to be an issue.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This also felt like the first game where the Bucks really forced Phoenix out of what they wanted to do most. You know, like mm-hmm. the first couple of games, I just felt like Chris Paul and Devin Booker, like, they just did what they wanted. And they never had to work as hard as they should have to get those buckets. Too much came easy. And they were just kind of getting to their first options too often.
But even Chris was like, Chris was pretty smooth. He had to work for some of it, but I never mm-hmm. felt like he was like really in overdrive. Like, yeah, Book, I felt like he was really pressing and he was struggling. Like, that was the first time, even though he had had some bad shooting games, that was the first time in the playoffs where I felt like he doesn't have an answer here.
Mm-hmm. I love Monty sitting him too, just kind of just waving the white flag with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's odd for them to lose a game like this where Jay Crowder kind of goes off. You know, that's abnormal.
That's a good point. He went off in that third.
Yeah.
He was the only one, though. What do you have, 6 of their 9 threes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody else really hit.
He's walking into him.
Yeah, they had Dr. Julius Cam Johnson for 2 minutes. That reverse under the basket was the closest to Julius Irving.
That dunk was awesome.
The dunk was awesome.
Cam lost his mind for like 3 minutes.
He really turned into a different guy.
That shit was different. I didn't know he had that hang time on both plays.
And then I'll tell you what, it'll probably get lost because it turned into a blowout. But Jrue Holiday during that span hit like 3 super clutch shots.
That was like the low key moment of the game.
Right when things could have gotten ugly for Milwaukee and they could have lost control, he hit a bunch of jumpers in pretty close succession.
He had a heat check
that
too.
Just were really, really important.
He pulled up deep on one heat check. He missed it. I was like, oh, come on, Drew.
Yeah, he was bugging with that one. But,
yeah, he was.
But still, they needed that out of him. And
yeah,
they haven't gotten that always between him and Middleton. But when they have a second guy, doesn't matter who it is, but when one of those guys plays really well, they have or just been has very, a very difficult to stop in the postseason.
Well, especially if Giannis is going to be this wrecking ball.
Yep.
Like he has the last two games. Like, that shows you the difference, right? He was pretty much the same player in game 2 as he was in game 3. I mean, he was a little better in game 3, but he was pretty much the same player. But not having that other guy step up, that's the difference between you, like, losing one where you felt like maybe you could grab it at some point in the second half and mm-hmm. then kicking their ass.
Yep.
Like, that's a wild swing. And I'm glad, like, I never believed that tweet from StatMuse that said
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe and Jrue Holiday were shooting the same in the playoffs. I never believed it. I refuse to believe it. I won't believe it ever again after tonight. I just think that's slander. I think it's a Photoshop. No one actually looked up the numbers, in my opinion, and so we never have to bring it up again.
And they've been kind of bugging lately, too, with just, like, getting their jokes off on
there.
Oh, my
God, so, man. They're fucking like killing crazy. Everybody.
No, they have been. But I was going to liken that back to something Trey said about he was talking about kind of the slander Chris and Jrue were getting. And I think a lot of it for Jrue, at least this series, is – and I was going to bring up the Bledsoe thing. It's like the offensive baseline, I think the focus on him offensively is because of – how Eric Bledsoe's lack of contribution killed the Bucks. But then also, if you're not going to do that, we need the Jrue Holiday that we know. And I just didn't think he had been that good defensively the first two games. I think he'd been fine, but like, it wasn't enough to make up for how poor he was playing offensively.
I mean, game 1, I thought he was fine defensively. Like, they kept switching, they dropped in the third, you know, like, I don't know that, like, when they were switching him off of guys, like, I don't know that that's his fault, right? Yeah. If he's following the game plan, right. Like, I, you know, game two,
the switching was a bad call.
Yeah, game 2, I'm with you. But even then, the stuff that, I mean, I don't really want to turn this into a shit on Eric Bledsoe thing, but I will. even then, like,
it always goes back.
I know.
Twisting your arms.
I'm trying to.
You know, caught strays. It's okay, Eric Bledsoe. Catch some strays.
But with Jrue, like, fucking he's moving Brandon the ball Knight. At least, right? Right. Like, don't wait, hold on, Jay. Did you just bring up Brandon Knight? That's what I'm saying. But at least with Drew, like, he's moving the ball. Right. Yes. Like, he can at least get into the teeth of the defense and move the ball and find guys, which Bledsoe never really did.
No.
But also, Bledsoe wasn't missing eight layups in a game. Or eight shots around the rim in a game.
And Drew's, I thought, I can't remember if it was game two or one, but he was pretty loosey-goosey with the ball.
I think that was those game two. Yeah, I'm with
you. It was like, and it was just like a stretch.
Sloppy. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah, that's kind of what we've learned. Like, Drew is the when you get the one Drew that's trying to be aggressive and scoring, like, good night to whoever they're playing against. But then when you get aggressive Drew who's not scoring, that's, I mean, you could say that with any team in the league when they're 2A, 2B players,
right,
is kind of hot and cold like that. But I think, I mean, that's been the issue with Milwaukee since they've kind of entered this echelon of teams.
That one sequence he had when he blocked Booker, mm-hmm, through the lefty around the back pass to start a fast break, then got it back and threw a wraparound pass for a dunk. Mm-hmm. I think it was Portis for the dunk.
Yeah.
That was just special, man. That was big time.
And he had that hook, that lefty hook pass on the baseline to a shooter, yep, in the corner too. I think that created something.
Yeah, yeah. I think yep, Bryn Forbes missed that one, right?
Probably. He deserves slander. Well, we can slander him. It's all right. Just no Flint slander.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about game four? Like, do you guys feel like the Bucks figured anything out? Because I don't necessarily.
So
I think the Suns didn't play as well.
The one big thing.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think they've figured out, or at least like they've put more of an emphasis on it, is just Giannis getting great position. And it seemed like they had a real emphasis in transition of getting him out, getting him, you know, a good matchup, getting him in the post. They had he had several duck-ins in the post where he had a smaller guy on him, went straight to the rim. And so I want to see how Phoenix counters that, because there are going to be a lot of times when it's either Crowder or somebody else much smaller than Giannis on him. And he just owned that game with his physicality. And he's done it two straight games now. I think the Suns need to do something to force him away from being right at the rim, like make him work harder for those points. I think what's been most impressive to me is that he's been able to get those touches and those buckets without, like, you know, having the seven or eight dribble possessions, mm-hmm, that he has sometimes. And they've got to force him to do more to tire him out. Like, we haven't seen him. It's not even close to what he was in, like, the Nets series, let's say, where by the end of those games, he was just gassed because he had to work so hard for every point. And they haven't made him do that yet. And they need to start doing that, or else, you know, he'll keep having his 40-plus.
Yeah, I have a tough time just trying to put it into, like, thoughts and words when it comes to the Bucks, because, as I think we mentioned earlier, like, they start series weird. I mean, we could go – they lost – did they lose every game won this series except – or this playoffs except Miami?
So
like, they're just, and this isn't a team, like, the Suns are really fucking good, so it's like, is this a team that takes a little bit to figure it out, or is it as elementary as tonight you had Giannis continuing to be Giannis and then other people stepped up? I think it's just going to come down to other people stepping up. Like, the Bucks are as talented, if not more talented, if they get decent to good contributions from their other guys. And as elementary as that sounds, like, I think that's just the difference in this series. I don't know. And I think you obviously got it tonight. You hadn't really got it in the previous two. And I don't think that's, it's a surprise that I mean, it is because how bad Devin Booker played, but, or shot the right ball at least. But, I still think even if he shoots fine, like, I feel like Milwaukee was just better this game. I don't know. Yeah. They're still a weird team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Milwaukee's just good, right? Like, they're going to have games.
Also, the Suns are – I think the Suns are probably better than Milwaukee, but not by enough that
it's close.
We should be – like, this could go seven for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked by that. I mean, the Bucks could win it, and I wouldn't be shocked by it. They're good. So I think the quality of the series so far, I mean, and this one kind of became a blowout, but it still was fun, man. Like, this is a, an interesting style matchup, yes. I think, because, you know, we hammer these teams that stay in drop, like the Bucks, and the Suns are built to just completely destroy those types of teams. And we watched it work, and then we watched them change. And I wonder if this is just kind of what we're going to see from here on out, where you can get there in drop and you can have that elite defense, but you're going to have to prove it, and probably sooner than the finals, I would guess.
Yes.
You know, I think that you're going to start seeing more first round teams really attack that drop more aggressively. But this in particular, the styles with Phoenix's offense and the Bucks defense and some of the rigidity there has been interesting, and it's just been a fun series so far. So like this is actually kind of cool that we don't know what the hell is going to happen.
I agree.
What about all right, so what about the rest of the series? Jay.
Bucks in six, baby.
Wow, so you think they're just going to run them all?
No, I just picked Bucks in six before the series, so I can't switch yet.
I'm with Jay. I picked Bucks in six to start, too. I'm going to stay with it.
Wow.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Dave?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I would pick that if I had to pick it now, but I picked right. it before, so I'm riding with it.
Yes, same.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, look, I still think the Suns could win this in five.
Oh, no, for sure.
You know, yeah. And it's tricky. It's a toss-up to me, like, between going five and going seven. But it feels like – it feels like Giannis is not going to let this end in five. I mean, look, we didn't even talk about his free throws tonight. Yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed. He wasn't taking very long to shoot these free throws. And I don't know what happened, but it looks smooth. And I don't know, man. This guy is just on another level. I think it's going to go seven.
Trey?
I love it. I hope so.
I still have Suns in six. But I do think that the Bucks will win the next game. And Phoenix will get another home game. And then I think that Phoenix gets their last one in Milwaukee before having to come back home. Because I think, you know, just a sense of urgency that they can, you know, win two straight.
Yeah.
Has Giannis done anything to change your guys' opinion of him throughout this playoffs?
He's become a better playmaker. I think he could create before. But now I think the game is starting to like make more sense to him. He's went away from trying to shoot the three. You know, it's interesting to see how things flipped, you know, as far as James Harden saying, if I could dunk, then, you know, I would be Giannis, you know, I'd pretty much be Giannis. And Giannis has added, you know, ball handling. He's actually a little bit more loose than LeBron, which is hilarious, but he can't make a shot. So, I mean, you know, I seen actually, you know, our guy Miles Brown say, you know, like he should take up some, you know, learn two moves from Hakeem. But then I think he would be boring to watch. He'd be dominant, maybe boring to watch. And I think that Giannis is actually okay to, you know, he's not as bad as what the slack that the stuff that he gets where he's like, oh, you know, like his game is nasty. It's like, nah, he just doesn't have like the right feel because he's not reading what the defense is giving him. Like, you're open for a reason. They want you to take that three. And now he made a play like today, like that was very elder Magic Johnson-like, where he had three guys' attention and he was able to dump it off. And I think those plays are going to continue to open up because of how aggressive he's starting off, you know. But then also, you know, shouts to Marcus Thompson and Dave DeFore getting us to watch the 19 and unders. Kenneth Lofton Jr. has a great feel about reading, you know, going off that shoulder and going inside. And I think Giannis could do something similar and be very, very...
study Kenneth Lofton Jr.
100%, man. That kid's amazing.
You can... Right. But that
Jay kid... Jay King, you're not studying?
That kid is doing it...
I was studying him today. I promise that.
He's doing it the right way, you know? And I think that, those are learning your strengths and knowing your strengths. And I think that Giannis is starting to figure it out a little bit. Like, okay, I can get 40 from these guys here, but also by me being aggressive down low, I can find my teammates in other ways because I'm getting the attention.
Yeah.
So yes, he's becoming more likable. I still think that Milwaukee as an overall market isn't like lovable, and that the darling story of the Suns, you know, saying, oh, we love playing with each other. You know what I mean? Like Chris Paul has his narrative of like being in the league for so long and finally getting a chance to get his first versus it's flipped on Giannis. Like he's young and he'll be back.
Man, but can you imagine what it's going to be if Chris Paul loses the finals after going up 2-0?
Oh, like just that whole
conversation. Well, the conversation is going to be so annoying. Yeah, or goes up 3-1 and lose. Oh my God, that's going to be so annoying. But I want to say this to Jay's question. He has not changed my opinion on him because I need to see it more. Not that he's never had good games before, but to me, like, he's a center. He's not a wing player. He's a center.
Can you make this who you are all the time?
Right. When he plays like a center, nobody can stop him. When he plays like a wing, you can stop him or slow him down enough, you know, right?
I was talking to Ben Taylor about this today. And all I could think about was imagine if Giannis was just committed to being the screen and roll man. And you know, he's going to push it in transition and stuff like that. But if he had an elite pick and roll guy like Chris Paul, he could score 40 a game. It'd be like 1.6 points per possession on a pick and roll with Giannis. I mean, it would be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He'd be the most dominant pick and roll man ever.
I agree. And yeah. What I was going to say was like a combination. Well, what Trey said, then what Zach said was smart. Is like, I need to see it more. Like nothing's changed my perception, but like kudos to him to be able to look in the mirror in the midst of all this.
Yeah.
It's not like it's an off season and he like realized anything. Like he's changed the way he's played within a week span. And I mean, I don't know if we'll ever be able to prove this or if we'll ever be able to say this, but I think part of what we used to see previously saw from Giannis, even in the last series, is like his idea of what a superstar is supposed to be able to do. And that's when you see him trying to be more wing oriented or shooting those. Like, I think that's his, I don't think that's necessarily him knowing or him having overconfidence in him being able to do it. It's just kind of how he pictures the guys in his role need to be. And the fact that he's able to be like, screw all that. Like, I'm going to do what I do. Like I hope he does this. Like, this is who Giannis is from here on out. But I do want to commend him for looking in the mirror in the midst of like a championship run. Like that's,
well, and here's the thing about that, you know, that top of the key, you know, the stuff where people start to say he has no bag or whatever. Guess what? It doesn't hurt them for the most part.
I don't agree.
During the regular season, right?
Yeah.
So I just mean during the regular season. So during the playoffs, yeah, absolutely, you have to trash that. It has to go away.
But also, like Dave, like
I don't even think you
with a team like Milwaukee, like I could give a fuck what they do in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly.
Their job is to get to the postseason, be in a good position, and then do stuff. And so if your issues are just in the post, I mean, it's the same with 2-7, right? Like a great regular season player, and then we get to the playoffs, and it's like, oh, there goes 2-7 again. Like I'm just,
wait, who's 2-7?
The center for Utah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I remember 2-5. Yeah, yeah. 2-7. Sorry.
Yeah, 2-7, 2-5. Yeah.
We're going to have the gamut.
Who the hell wears 27?
As long as we don't get 77, we're good.
That's the thing.
Ugly ass number.
With Giannis, it's not that I like have thought like, oh, he's not good. It's that I've just thought last couple of years, like, please stop trying to be Kobe. Please stop trying to be a guard, right? Like, because and maybe some of that's on Bud, and maybe it's some of that's on him, and maybe some of that's on the teammates. But I do wonder if the injury has caused him to simplify things, and this is him simplified, which makes him like unstoppable, right? If he plays like this, and I don't think like it's reasonable to expect him to do what he's done the last two nights, like moving forward. But if he plays like it, not the production, but just the style, I don't really know what you do with him if you're going against him.
Nope. You notice there's less of the side to side stuff. So like the Euro step is tighter even.
That one today was nasty on Cam or I don't know.
Yeah,
he hit somebody with a quick one.
I think it was on Cam. Yeah, but it's a little bit tighter, but also it's slower. And he's making reads. You know, I mean, Trey even mentioned his playmaking. We're watching it get better. And I think that like we talked about that a little bit on Nerder last week. And then the week before, Seth kind of, I mean, it was just very subtle. He thought it was common knowledge, but he said that exact thing, Zach, that it's the Kobe thing.
Yeah.
This is what stars. I mean,
he's a Kobe disciple, right?
And Giannis wants to do it. Right. And if you're Mike Budenholzer, I'm sorry, man. Like, what are you going to say about it?
Yeah.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
My guy wants to, I mean, I'm going to coach him the way he wants to be coached. Now, certainly we're going to make compromises. And I think that Giannis is so good.
I'll show him his shot chart. Like, you see all the green? There you go. That's what we do, Giannis. Get your ass in the basket.
They should post that thing every day. Like, every day. It should be like at his parking spot. Right. It should be in his urinal. It should be in his locker. Should just be like, look, man, you score 3 points every single time you touch the ball here.
I'm looking at his shot chart tonight. It looks like he set up fucking hotels around the rim in a Monopoly board. Like, that's where, like, there's so much there. Like, that's what I want to see out of him.
Look, the Shaq thing is funny to throw around because, like, they, you know, obviously they just seem so different. But, like, that's the closest comp you can come up with for him.
At least with offense. Like, the scoring profile and everything. Obviously, he's not doing the way Shaq did it, but, like,
no.
Yeah. That's where all the points come from, right? That's where the dominance comes from.
Nuts, yeah, it's nuts, man. Imagine if he was playing with Luka. What, they would average 40 a game apiece?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So,
and Kristaps would have 9.
In past playoff runs, and even part of this playoff run, I guess, I always felt like he and they were too predictable. Like you knew he would have a ball
play random
ISO,
though.
And he would be trying to beat his man one-on-one. And now he's posting guys up at the rim. He's being the roller in the pick and roll. He's doing his work earlier to make his buckets easier. And I think that's the difference. Like it's not as predictable, or it doesn't seem as predictable the last couple of games. And I think you can see his evolution. I think you can kind of see Budenholzer's evolution in a way too, throughout this playoffs. And so Giannis, like, he's never played better than he has lately. Evolution, baby.
Based on what?
Budenholzer evolution season.
What are we basing that on?
Just the way they've used Giannis. Like, they've definitely utilized him.
We're going to call that evolution.
In ways that are less predictable, I would say.
Oh. Yeah, you got to give them a little bit of credit.
For what?
Come on, Zach. What? You got to give them a little bit of credit. They've been mixing things up, and things have been different. And he can't make Drew Holiday play better the first two games.
Hold on. Mixing things up. They went to a switching defense, which is actually pretty successful, in game one.
But then they went away from it when it stopped working.
But what they went to was drop coverage, which didn't work at all. They went through a whole first half in game one playing, like, switching constantly, were down 8, went into a coach's meeting at halftime and came out saying, we're going to do drop coverage against Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Like,
but Bud can't make Drew Holiday not miss 8 shots at the rim.
That's the other game.
Right? Like, that's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about game
one. Drew Holiday, I mean, I don't know how many he missed at the rim in that game, but he didn't make a lot of shots.
He didn't. But also, like, he lost them that game. He lost them game one by doing that, because that's the moment where the Suns separated. Game two, I thought the strategy was really good for in the first quarter with the way they attacked. The Suns just hit threes and then it got away from them. And I don't really have a fix for that other than maybe some personnel decisions. But in terms of the schemes of it in game two, like, the Suns hit shots. Like, I don't, and some of them were pretty tough.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you do with that.
Yeah.
Tonight, was there a whole lot there that they changed, or was it just more effective?
No. I didn't think he did a whole lot. I didn't think he did a whole lot tonight.
What evolution? Like, I don't know what to
do. Evolution, baby.
We don't need to shit on him necessarily, but this idea that now we have to credit him because they won a fucking game. Like, what are we doing?
He's an innovator, Zach.
I think you can give him some credit for not being as rigid as he has been in the past.
Sure. And there's some progress there, but let's see what happens in game 4 before we start, like, saying, he did it. Magoo.
Wait, he's not coach of the year.
Like, we're not, like, we gotta see more out of this than just the one game. That's my point. Speaking of more than just one game, let's get a little Team USA, guys. Team USA lost to Nigeria 90-87. Throwback game, man. Nick's heat game right there. First of all, I want to shout out Ikorabu, guard for Team Nigeria. I actually coached him when he was in eighth grade.
Damn, he had awesome. Some bad coaching.
First of all, I told him he needed to get
the,
that.
Take the credit.
He needed to get that eighth grade out of his fucking game when he came to try to play a JV. By the way, he was so good that he played for us for like a month and then he went right up to varsity. I think his junior year, he transferred to Oak Hill Academy. I think his junior year.
Wait.
He used Toucan?
Is this the first Harper bump?
We also had a kid, Darren Johnson, who played at Washington, and then I think he's overseas somewhere. So we got a couple of Harper bumps.
Okay.
Ike was a great kid. There was one point when he was briefly playing for us that I told him a way to fix his jumper, and it worked a little bit better. Now, I haven't talked to him I haven't coached him in what it would have been like
Zach's out here 13 taking
years
credit.
At this point, but would Team Nigeria have beaten the USA if I had not given him that little bit of advice when he was in eighth grade? I'm not here to say yes or no. Okay. Just Ikorabu, shout out to you. Kid's a grinder. He's really good.
It's a cool, I love this, by the way, because it's so it's an exhibition. No. I love Nigeria winning this game, right? And look, it's an exhibition, so obviously it's very easy to say who cares, but this is a big deal for Nigeria basketball. Like, I love that Mike Brown was coaching that team. And it's funny that he's running like Steve Kerr's system and beat Pop and Kerr with it. But also, hey, welcome to the 3-point evolution international basketball.
Yeah, man.
And don't be surprised if a team gets hot and we don't have a USA gold medal team because of it, because it might happen.
Uh-oh. Well, here's the thing.
Nigeria hit 23s, man.
And they shot twice as many, right?
They'll look way better once Devin Booker and Chris Middleton have been added to the team. Because
they need another front court player.
They're not the deepest USA roster of all time.
Two Pistons played.
And, you know, the other thing that I'm just thinking about is the Olympics.
That's a lot of pissed.
Without fans in the arena, I wonder if we might even get like a little bit of a bubble type shooting environment.
Maybe.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's possible.
It's going to be interesting.
Trey, what did you want to say about Team USA?
Well, so no, I mean, the thing is, I think that mostly everybody was panicking because obviously they dropped this game, but, you know, like, guys are still trying to figure out, this is a fresh new group, a lot of first-time USA guys. And I had talked to one of the players, and, you know, they were saying that pretty much, you know, Pop was super serious about, you know, telling guys to take this more seriously. And guys felt like, you know, they kind of came in lax, and I think that this needed to happen to let them know, like, how serious USA Basketball is, but then also the other talents around the world and how teams are getting better. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to really reflect too much on Team USA because we're going to talk a lot about them, you know, as the weeks go on. I wanted to just shine a light on Nigeria. I mean, Dave mentioned, you know, being coached by Mike Brown, but just like how
and by Zach Harper.
And Zach Harper. Yeah,
look, the roots go deep, okay? Like we, with these coaching roots go real deep. Back to Franklin High School in Elk Grove. I think it's Elk Grove, California. I can't remember which suburb.
Yeah. Shouts to another Bay legend, Josh. My man Josh is on that team as well as Epe. But overall, you know, looking at this, Team Nigeria has been able to do to build a respectable program and getting ready for these type of games and these type of situations to compete, it has been amazing, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they're going to have more players, you know, joining and playing for the national team and actually putting up, you know, because this is not Angola of 92, you know what I'm saying? Or these teams that were matched up against the Dream Team and getting beat by 60. Team USA is going to have to earn it, and they're going to have to play it the right way. But hopefully these young guys can take back from this exhibition knowing that you sacrifice a lot playing on these type of teams. And once you own in on your role, that's what you do best. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'm still leaning on Jeremy Grant to be the Tayshaun Prince of this team. You know, also they're going to be adding Middleton, Holiday, and Booker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to be playing a lot. I did feel in this game that Durant should have played a little bit more five. I felt like maybe Dame gets that look at the end. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of things to factor in. But again, you can't just, you know, jokes are going to be jokes. Things are going to fly. People's reaction is going to react. But as Pop, you know, still has this young, you know, this young unit and kind of swap guys in and out and find the best team for them. I mean, you know, that puts them in a successful position. You know, it was a good test market for that.
Yeah.
And shouts to Nigeria, you know, that was big for the countrymen and, you know, everybody else. That was good.
There's so much heat culture on this Nigerian team.
There was like a four lot of guys, heat culture, like, right?
Do you see that Precious Achiuwa post?
Precious. I don't know if Precious should have did that.
On the KD block. I love that, man. That's good. I like international competition is a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys caught the Euros today, but I really do like that stuff. And in particular, you know, I like seeing Team USA take a loss. I think it's fun.
It's good.
It adds drama to it, right?
Like,
Yeah.
What's funny
is fun until it's not fun. Just don't let Larry Brown coach.
I'm not gonna have my feelings hurt. If Team USA doesn't win a gold medal. And as a matter of fact, I think it's a better story if somebody else does win. Because again, man, like that's the cool thing about sports is we like the underdogs to win, and we don't like knowing the outcome beforehand.
I'm just excited for Australia to once again fail to get a medal for some random reason because they seem to always do that. I don't know if Luis Scola is the original Kenneth Lofton Jr. or if Kenneth Lofton Jr. is the new Luis Scola. It's one of the two, but oh my God, they're the same person.
It's only Luis Scola is chiseled.
Look, man.
Luis Scola looks like Cable from X-Men. It looks like they've like time ported like into like 2053 and he's still playing and like he has a robotic arm now, man, with a red eye. Like it's crazy. He has like this, you know, he's grayed out.
You know, I think it would be cool if we sent older players, like the guys that are like just retired to the Olympics. That would be a little bit more fun to me.
We saw some big three action this weekend.
Joe
Johnson's still there, by the way.
I was going to say Isaiah Brooks Briscoe is playing in there and he's like 12.
Yeah, Isaiah Briscoe's too young to be in the big three. I didn't like that. Like, Catino Mobley's too old and Isaiah Briscoe's too young.
Yeah.
Isaiah Briscoe could be Catino's grandson, like at this point.
Yeah, I don't even understand.
He was giving the work, Isaiah Briscoe. Oh my God. He was destroying.
He shouldn't even be in that, man. That's cheating.
No, it's not fair. He should be in the league. He's good. Man. I like it.
I can't believe we've gotten this far into the pod without Jay King talking about how he would have knocked out Conor McGregor.
You know what? The way he broke his ankle, I probably would have.
He would whoop your ass with a broken ankle.
His ankle looked like campaign's jumper.
How crazy was that interview?
It was all the way left.
Oh, man. He was so desperate for fucking, you know, attention all week. He was saying some wild stuff. And it was just, so lazy. And what I loved is, I think it was before he said the thing about your wife's in me DMs, is she walked by in the background and gave him the finger. And then I think he started saying that shit. So like she was ready to, you know, to throw some blows on him too. Like she was going after him too. He was taking all the hits that night. He's such trash, man. Rough. Well, I used to like him, and then I found out more about him, and that dude's such trash. Take his ass to fight the Paul brothers.
That's why he won't get in the ring with next.
We can do Jay King and Conor McGregor and a tag team against the Paul brothers.
So he doesn't want me to fight Paul.
All right, you got the number one pick next year. You taking Kenneth Lofton Jr. or Chet Holmgren?
I'm still a Chet guy, man.
Oh, even though he got worked? Even though he was getting destroyed?
He had a few big buckets in the fourth.
Yeah, once Victor was out.
No, he got him the third and fourth fouls.
Oh, so. That was a bullshit call.
I was going to say that he was very good for them in the fourth, changing, you know, like pretty much making them change their shots on defense. But Ivy was so good.
Yo, Ivy was good, and I like that Adam Miller kid. That kid's good.
Yeah,
he's tough.
Yeah,
is this is a dumb question? Probably is Kenneth Lofton Jr. Kenny Lofton's kid?
No, different kid.
No. Okay. You know what's crazy?
Because isn't he Jr.?
Yeah, shouts to his dad actually, I guess, was searching the name, and I seen that he was following me, like, because I told, you know, I tweeted earlier that, you know, you need to feed the Lofton kid, not on a funny thing, but like feed him in the post. And you know, I guess he searched the name and was like basically co-signing it.
Yeah.
But I like that. I mean, I've seen a lot of people saying that kid should lose weight, and that's actually his strength. He's only 6'7", so like, using his size is basically what helps him kind of kill in that lower block, because if he drops 20 to 30 pounds, then he's going to have to develop a 15 footer outside of the basket, you know, to make it in the next level.
It worked for Sean May.
He could tighten it up a little bit. I mean, you know, did people worry about Jokic losing weight.
Being a smart ass.
People were worried about Jokic losing weight. I think he did okay. I'm with certainly, this kid, you know,
this
like,
kid's kid. 12
he's a kid. He's
going
to get good. He's going to get in shape. Well, what I mean is, look, he's a kid. He's going to get into better shape. Like, just, he's a professional athlete. He's going to get into better shape. That's not the stuff that I think about. That guy has crazy touch, and his feet are just incredible. Yeah. And to be that quick and that big is got to catch people off guard. That I don't know what that guy's going to be. But was it Marcus Thompson that said in the group chat he's going to be a post-up specialist? He's going to be the first post-up specialist.
I'll tell you what he's going to be. He's going to be a bucket, man. This kid can ball. He was destroyed.
Run the first five plays of the game for him. Well, that's the only guy I want to see that for.
For the whole tournament. Like, he was killing.
He won him this game.
Yeah, and he put up 12-7 as a freshman, 56% from the field.
I love how much Kenneth Lofton Jr. talk we've had tonight.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
We need a regular
Kenneth Lofton Jr. segment. Giannis was good tonight, but Kenny was better today.
Kenny was
all right?
Crazy. Yeah. Step your game up, Giannis.
Exactly. You want to really impress me, Giannis? Play like Kenneth Lofton Jr. Then I'll be impressed. Then I'll believe that you can
win a
championship.
You know who's got a bag?
Yeah. Oh my God. He's got a whole duffel bag, man.
I love
it. Trick or treat.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds of the Athletic NBA show on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. I got mock drafts out right now. I think once a week until the draft on the 29th. So make sure you check those out. Check all the offseason stuff of the Pistons. Kate Cunningham, right? You know, going to maybe be the pick, or maybe they'll trade it away for no one good. Who knows? You got to read James Edwards' work on the Athletic. Make sure you check out all the Celtics stuff that they're doing this offseason. Are they going to get the good players, Jay?
Probably not too many more.
Well, that's exciting. So read about the not too many good
flexibilities.
There you go. Make sure you check out all the NBA Finals coverage and everything that you would want to read about sports right there on the Athletic. For Trey, for Jay, for Dave, for James, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked on the Athletic.